Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to what I promise will be another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. So glad you joined us tonight. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio and across the way. A man who oftentimes has a deep-seated fear of not being intelligent, George Fraser. Hello, George.
You betcha. Yeah. Billy, how are you?
It is kind of a nagging fear of yours, isn't it?
Kind of getting used to it, though.
Tonight, we've got both beauty and brains in the studio, but I don't really want to talk about myself, but we do have an in-studio guest. Mark Sofeldt is here, Dr. Mark Sofeldt, with his wife, Sarah. So we're going to have a very lively discussion tonight, George, and a very special show, in my opinion.
The Mark Sofeldt. Here tonight.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't get to talk
you
yet.
You don't get to talk yet, doctor. So just roll it back. Yeah.
We'll nod when you can start talking.
How bad. We're so bad.
Yeah. So, George, may I just first say it's nice to be back in the studio. We've had a little bit of a time off of 5 or 6 weeks away from being live, so it's nice to be back. And, Alex, good to see you again.
Turning my mic on. Good to be here.
Thank you so much. And
it is good to be back.
It is good to be back. And we also have lots to talk about tonight. And there are some nights, George, that we carefully plan what we're going to do in Real Recovery. Tonight is not one of those nights.
No.
Or any night, for that matter.
No, usually we just show up, and it's pretty obvious that we kind of go with what we have. And
mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's great to be back tonight, though.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah. Let's start off tonight talking about a step.
I wanted to talk about three of them and kind of throw them together.
Okay.
But step one is we admit we're powerless over drugs and alcohol, that our lives are unmanageable. And really, we're powerless over everything. We go to step three where we make a decision to turn our will and our life over the care of God as we understand him. And then we go to 11 where we pray only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And I think we get that mixed up sometimes. We give our life to God because we want stuff in step three. I'm in trouble. I'm drinking. I'm going to jail. My marriage is falling apart. Take this.
Mm-hmm.
Get to step 11. I want to pray because I want my stuff
mm-hmm.
from you. And what he says is, no, this is about me. I think Tim Keller said that God's will for us is that our will should be his will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough sometimes.
And the big question is, did we get into a relationship with God for him to serve us or for us to serve him? And I think when life circumstances get difficult, we sometimes wonder where God is and will God serve me in the way in which I want?
Absolutely.
And that's not the way it works. Our highest accountability is us being accountable to him, not him being accountable to us. And that's difficult, George.
Well, I think we work with a lot of guys that decide they're going to make a decision for God to get them out of trouble or to get the girl or the job that they want. And then when that doesn't happen, God let them down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how it works. And some of us learn that the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason we've been off for 6 weeks is on December 1st, I went in to have a physical, and there was a spot on my lung. And I finally found out, I think on December 28th, that I had metastatic lung cancer, which is stage 4. I have it in my left lung and my left femur. I probably missaid that. But the whole thing about this show we have done from the beginning is we wanted to get people involved with Jesus Christ. Everybody, if you're in recovery, and if you're a Christian, you are in recovery. Your life should be different than it was when you became a Christian. But we hear in the recovery rooms the higher power, and the program helped me quit drinking and my higher power. Well, it's all about Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have forgiveness of your sins and you don't have eternal life. And we've said that from the beginning. This summer, what we wanted to do was write a book for people that are in recovery who don't know the Lord. And it came from a conversation I had with somebody who said, what happens to me when I die? I said, I know the answer to that. I want to tell you. So mm-hmm. we were going to write a book and explain to people in 12-step movements that it's not about the program. It's about Jesus. He created the world. He created the program. Let's give credit where it's due. And we were going to write a book and go around and put on workshops and have book signings and really make ourselves look good and do this.
How'd that work out so far?
Well, I think the way it might work is that one of us, that would be me,
mm-hmm.
has the opportunity to maybe show people how to die with some grace and dignity because I have the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I would have chosen, and I need to man up quite a bit to do that. But what I've learned in this time, and our guest is going to talk about this, is how scared I am about dying, but how grateful I am of what God did in my life. If you had told me after three failed treatments when I was 27 years old that I'd be sober 32 years, I'd get saved, and I'd die at 60 from lung cancer, I'd say I'll take that all day because I never thought it would happen. And I am so grateful for the life I've had, but I do not want to leave. And when you're looking at this, I got to tell you, terror. You know, I'm an Edina guy, so I don't man up well. We usually hire that stuff out. But, you know, now I got to do it. One of our friends, a guy named Jay Carroll, sent me an email about how God's will always happens. And my job in this is to honor him with grace. And it was like talking to my dad. I've been praying. My dad's been dead 13 years. But Jay Carroll sends me this thing. And there's a lot of blessings because what we realize is what you believe, you really believe, you know you believe it when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And in nothing else is there hope. And, Bill, you have been such a good friend. You've been driving me. You've been the point man on my treatment team. And I know how badly you want your own radio show, so that kind of goes against that, but I appreciate it.
Well,
so that's kind of what happened.
You know, it's the friendship, George, that I have with you is one of my greatest treasures in life, and I think it's, you know, it's what God has appointed me to do is to help you in this situation. I think
You've been great.
Well, you don't have to. You don't have to say
that.
I
mean, I don't know why you drive 45 and a 60, but you know, other than that,
it's
good.
You always find something to complain about, don't you?
Yeah,
here
I do.
Yeah. But it's...
What's it been like for you?
It's been a nerve-wracking, to be honest, because, again, we are asking ourselves, do we really believe what we talk about all the time? Because now we have an opportunity to actually put our faith right on the line and say, are we trusting God for every appointment that comes up, every decision that gets made, and every diagnosis that comes through? We've kept our fingers crossed for a number of things, and they've all come back poorly.
Bad.
If this report comes back positive, things are going to look bright, and the report comes back negative. So, it's been scary.
Do you see, and I kind of, you know, got to take my own inventory on this. I kind of had the prosperity gospel thing going. Like, if I have Jesus in my life, nothing really bad's ever going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get everybody praying from the church, this thing's going to be benign.
Right.
Every one of these deals bad. Even I got a heart AFib. I didn't know I had that.
No.
And it's like, it just keeps, but the hope is there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And of course, you had some AFib that went out on Christmas Eve. And that was a pleasant Christmas in the hospital for overnight.
Well, what was funny is my dentist, Dr. Paul Wallen, gave me a ride home the day before. You gave me a ride to the hospital, and he called me the next day, and he said, how's your heart rate? I go, I don't know. It's not a big deal. And he goes, take your pulse. Well, I couldn't, so I go to Walgreens. I buy this thing you stick on your finger. It's 128, so he's telling me I got to get to the emergency room. So I'm driving with this thing. It's going dee, 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 dee. And I get to North. They don't have valet parking and emergency, something you might
want
to look at.
That's the time you really want it, too, by the way.
So we're going up the parking ramp. There's a caravan. There's like 10 cars, right?
Yeah, right.
Finally get into the ER. Takes like a mile. And I get in there. Lady goes, what's going on? I go, racing heart, chest pain. She goes, here's a beeper. Go sit over there. I go, racing heart, chest pain. She goes, I heard you. So I'm watching the Packer-Viking game. Mm-hmm. TV's bad. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die on Christmas Eve. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And then you showed up. And,
not to mention the Packers were going to win.
Yeah. But you know what? It worked out. And these things, I'll tell you what, everybody listen, it's going to happen to you someday. Mm-hmm. I hope you're 90. But you cannot get your arms around this until it does. When you actually, for me, coughing up blood, seeing a couple of tumors on an X-ray because they light it up on this PET scan, get your attention. And you're going to find out whether you believe what you believe or not. But if you're listening tonight and you don't have Jesus as your Savior, I just got to tell you flat out this deal. No matter what happens to me, I'm good. And I can't imagine having a Christless eternity. The hope of there's no hope otherwise. And so that's the blessing here.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is. You know what? It's true. All the stuff we talk about, it's true. And I know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like my health back now that I know it's true, but
right.
It is true. So that's cool.
And the other little thing that's happening today is you are enjoying your 60th birthday today. So happy birthday.
Yeah. Remember how many times I said this summer, I don't know how to be 60. How am I going to do that? 2 weeks ago, I'm going, I hope I make it. So,
right.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you, Billy.
So that's a whole lot to cover in one segment. But, you know, start setting up a little bit of the discussion we're going to have with Mark.
Well, I think what we're going to talk about is suffering and hope and where we get our hope and what suffering is about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to talk about this. I don't want to suffer. I want everything to be smooth and pleasant. One of the things about Mark is he tells people every day probably that they don't have much time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known Mark over 30 years. He didn't know who I was, but we went to the same church, and he was a musician, and then he's a doctor, and he's a surgeon, and he's the
guy.
He's
successful.
He's the guy.
Yeah, and you were what, a chainsaw artist? What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
You had some failed career.
I drank, yeah. Yeah, I was a failed drinker.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So... But, you know, then your life intersects again, and you know who people are and where they are with God, and that's very comforting because they're in a position of influence. God can help save people's lives. And I got to pray with him at the hospital, which was a huge deal for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, and Mark, in addition to being a brilliant surgeon, he's also a very accomplished musician, piano player, singer. Loves worship, loves to lead worship, loves to enjoy worship. And I had a conversation with him not that long ago, and he said that it's an essential part of anyone's recovery, whether it be from something physical or something, addiction of some kind. If you're not in a spirit of worship every day, you're going to be putting yourself behind your recovery schedule. So we're going to talk about that as well.
I love that.
It's true. Maybe
yeah.
You sometimes just crank up the Christian music and sing along in the car as long as you're alone. And, you know, that's part of experiencing worship.
We never do that going to the hospital. Maybe it would change our outcome.
The radio's off. We're not talking to each other. No, it's just horrible.
It is, yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a little break when we come back. Lots more. Dr. Mark Sofeldt in the studio. Beautiful wife Sarah is here as well. You're listening to Real Recovery live Sunday night. Be back in a minute. Welcome back, everyone, to Real Recovery. So glad you joined us tonight. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Alex at the board, and our very special in-studio guest, Dr. Mark Sofeldt. I bow down in supplication to our guest tonight, George.
I don't know what supplication means, but I do, too. I've known Mark for over 30 years. I think you have, too. We went to the same church, and he's a few years younger, but I knew who he was, a great musician, and the reputation as the best surgeon around. But always let in with strong Christian guy. I've never hear about Mark, and I don't hear that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he's here tonight, and I welcome you to our show. Thank you
so much.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Yeah,
it's really
absolutely.
Fun to be here with you guys, and even though we're dealing with some pretty tough circumstances right now.
Well, pain and suffering is something you experience every day in your job, and George is going through a tremendous amount of it in the last 40 days. And everyone that's recovering from an addiction or is in the middle of one is also in the midst of great suffering. So suffering and how we deal with it and how we cope with it and how to have hope is a important part of our show tonight.
Well, you know, I'm around this all the time. And one of the things I'm really interested in is just how different people's experience of suffering is with suffering is than what they're expecting based on what our culture tells them. Because the culture says... You know, suffering just shouldn't happen anymore. We shouldn't face suffering. And if there is a God and he loves us and he's all powerful, then why am I suffering? It's got to be some deficiency on God's part. And we know, coming from our Christian perspective, God's all about our suffering. The whole reason he came was to alleviate our suffering, to solve the issues of our suffering. So I see this all the time because I do... spend a lot of time with people that are going through suffering. I bring a lot of bad news to people's door. And I see people, even people that never really wanted to think about God, never wanted to give their life to him. I really see them searching for him and opening up to him at times when they're going through the real low points. And so that's a real challenge for me and a real part of my life is just to gently guide people towards the truth and give them some purpose and some hope in a time that's really tough.
What a great ministry, because when you're at that point, you're hurting, Bill. When you're in there, you're hurting. Your competence and your compassion, the day we got there, the first day, I noticed that your person that you work with, Shirley, I think her main job is to keep you from talking to people for too long.
That's right.
And yeah. I said that to you, Billy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was noticing that. I mean, it's okay when we do it.
Right.
But, you know, the guy with the cookies and the ham that was there.
He comes back every year to thank him for saving his life 7 years later. And Mark, you took all kinds of time with him because you care about him and you like him. Probably love him.
Yeah, it's that was an incredible experience. And, you know, people will say that. They'll say, hey, thank you for saving my life. And I really always want to be careful to deflect that praise directly to God.
Mm-hmm.
We never want to take credit for anything that the Lord decides about our life. We don't have any really answer to that he's not providing. And so I always want to say to him and others, hey, we always want to give thanks to the Lord above for saving your life. I'm not going to take credit for that, but it's really a great privilege to care for you and be part of it and see it.
Did you go into medicine for your Christianity? Did you do it? Did you know that this was how it was going to work out for you?
You know, I went into medicine at age 4. That's when I decided I want to be a doctor. So I'm one of those people that knows he's got a calling.
Mm. Wow.
I've gone through my whole life knowing I had a calling. And I remember when I was an intern and didn't really know much about making a living or having any kind of a salary. And I remember going from one rotation to another, because when you're an intern, you do a month of this and you do a month of that. And I just loved it all. And I remember thinking, man, I cannot believe I'm going to get paid for this.
Hmm.
And I pray that now for my kids. I pray they find a calling that has that sense of purpose and excitement. So I don't ever remember a time when I didn't identify as a physician, which is really odd, I think, in this day and age. But so that's been my life calling. So, yeah, growing up in the church, growing up in a Christian family, I've always sought to understand that in the context of my Christian faith. And always knew that, you know, and I don't get a chance to share Christ with every patient. Not every patient's interested in talking about that. And that's fine. But it's always in the back of my mind that I want to care for this patient in the way that Jesus would care for him. And let's face it, you know, sickness, illness, death, this is all the chaos of sin in our world.
Hmm.
And when Jesus started his public ministry, and he just wanted to dive into the chaos of sin, he started healing people. He went right to the sick people, right to the needy people. And so it just seemed like a real privilege, a real honor to do that as a believer.
You know, never really thought of that. But that's really when he started really getting everyone's attention, when he was healing the sick and the lame and the blind and the crippled. And that.
Oh, this is where people live. I mean, go to a large church here in town, and, you know, the prayer list every week, 90% of the prayer requests are health-related problems.
Or addiction. Mm-hmm.
Those two things. And they're all part. I like one of the themes on this program, which is that as believers, we're all in recovery. You know, it's all part of the chaos of sin, really.
Mm-hmm.
And how God comes into our life to take care of that. And to turn it around, not just for now, but forever. It's amazing.
We shouldn't even talk. You know, what's cool, though, is, you know, I've seen this from the other side. You know, I can listen to this, but I know what you're saying. You do, because I've been there. What's really impressive for me, being on the patient end, is you're the guy, and a lot of doctors, you know, to get there, that's a big deal. You know, very few people go through all that and do it. You're very humble about the whole thing. You know, you can feel that there because you're talking to everybody and it's like our buddy, you know? And I mean, I've known who you are, but I didn't know you. And it was like, you know, it's like Uncle Mark, you know? And
I would
like,
have so much attitude if I had Mark's skill.
We have attitude without the skill.
I know we do.
No,
I know
we do.
I know.
But a lot of these guys are like fighter pilots, which is great. You want that.
Right.
But you really differentiate yourself just in how you carry yourself and your team. It's great. Isn't it hard sometimes for you when you have to tell people that, like me, maybe you can't do something. And how do you cope with that? Is that a fair question or not?
No, that is hard. That is hard. And you know, I always think of it as those 9/11 moments. You know, like we all remember where we were when that first plane went into the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
There are those moments in life that are you'll just never forget. And I bring those once-in-a-lifetime moments to people's doorstep a lot. And I'm always very cognizant of that. I'm about to enter this room, and I'm about to say something that's going to change somebody's life. And, you know, really, I view it as a privilege to do that even though it's not a part of my job that I like. It's a way to go in and minister love and compassion and try to frame it in a context, try to always give hope, never want to take hope away. Even when we talk about addiction, and a lot of my patients are dealing with illness and addiction, that's, you know, prevalent in our culture. And so I really want to provide hope, always hope. Not all the people are willing to receive that in the context of Christian faith, but as a believer, I can always provide hope, and that's a privilege.
How do you keep your game up spiritually? How do you stay sharp spiritually? Because you're giving all the time. You're giving, and I mean, I could see where that would shut you down, and it's like, I got to go tell this guy he's dying and his family and all this. And how do you keep yourself going?
Well, you know, that is, and I know we're going to talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
There's no substitute to being in the Word and in worship and in prayer.
I agree.
There's just no substitute, and I know we're going to talk about that more. I've got the world's greatest wife over there in the corner. She doesn't want to be on the radio right now, but she is just amazing. And so, you know, I've got a real encourager.
Okay. Because
I come home pretty spent. I'm pretty, sometimes I just got to come and lay on the couch
sometimes
and babble incoherently.
She gets leftover mark, doesn't she?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really a two-person career, quite frankly.
What does that mean?
I mean, we couldn't do what I do without this partnership.
Gotcha.
With my wife.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very, very difficult to sustain it by myself. She's a great encourager, and she's really understanding, long-suffering, and all those good things. So I'm blessed beyond measure.
It would have to be a team effort. I ran into a friend of mine named Christy, who's a nurse at the health club this week. And the term angel kind of comes up in your head about caregivers. She didn't know about the thing, but she, you know, she's crying, and we're talking. And it's like the hope that you bring, that is the big deal, Bill.
Mm.
Because you're in a circumstance where you're grasping for anything, and to have false information come, false positive. But what about the hope that's rooted in Christ? Because that's the truth. That's priceless. And that you can hold on to, and that's not going to go away.
Yeah, the non-negotiable truths of the gospel.
So you stay in the Word,
mm-hmm.
You pray.
Turn your heart towards worship.
You know, I want to say another person that you met, our nurse clinician, Shirley.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Shirley is also working from a deep personal faith.
Welcome back to the big show. George, here's what happens if we take 5 or 6 weeks off. We learn things that are going on in the studio, that we have a hard break now at 529, and nobody told us.
It works.
Yeah, it works. We just kind of went cut away without any warning. So.
I mean, people who listen to our show expect that kind of stuff.
They didn't even notice. They didn't even notice there was a little interruption there. So we're talking tonight to Dr. Mark Sofeldt in studio, and we're having a lively conversation, although this is not the easiest show we've done, because we are telling our listening audience some challenging, difficult news about George, who has discovered in the last 40 days that he has stage 4 lung cancer. Ouch. And so we're talking about hope. We're talking about when you are in a situation where you have circumstances where you have to absolutely say, do I believe what I think, what I have talked about? Is that true? The answer is yes.
Well, it is true. And the other thing I might want to look at, and I want to own this because it's true and it's honest, I smoked. I quit 21 years ago. And you can get forgiven for your sins, and you can through Christ. That's the only one. But there might be some consequences down the road. And you know, I want to own that was one of my first addictions. But the one thing I really want to get across to everybody before we get back to Mark, I'm grateful for how my life turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I got 32 years of sobriety. I know where I'm going. But we wanted to do this show tonight because we've kind of been wide open about our lives, our walk as we go along. I'm really struggling with this because I'm scared. And there's other people out there that have gone through it. But I know that it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And God brings people into your life like Bill Arnold and Mark, Paul Wallen, to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not alone. So if you're listening out there, Jesus will always be there. But you got people in your life, too. So that's kind of cool. There's mm-hmm. a lot of blessings here. But I do want to talk about the suffering thing some more.
I do, too.
It's not something we want to do.
Right.
And you have, I know you have a lot of thoughts on this because we were talking before.
Well, you know, suffering is universal, right? I mean, I think you said it before. I mean, we hope that we're going to live to 90 and die in our sleep,
mm-hmm.
but we all are likely to experience suffering.
Mm.
And if we don't experience it in our own lives, we're going to have to live it with people we love. And so suffering becomes one of those universal experiences, and so it's a great opportunity to turn to God and say, Lord, first of all, I'm just turning this over to you. I need your supernatural peace. I need your joy. I need your strength day to day. And cancer is the best thing I know for turning into a one day at a time person.
Mm.
You know, people that are going through the cancer journey,
yes,
they're living life one day at a time. And the Lord meets them and sustains them. But also, we have an opportunity in suffering to speak truth to the world around us who are expecting us to fall apart. And instead, we get this supernatural joy we weren't expecting. We get this peace beyond understanding. And we have the ability to turn to other people and say, hey, you know what? God understands. He suffered. He understands. And so it's really relevant. A lot of people are leaving the church nationwide. A lot of people are giving up on faith, but they're going to go through suffering, and it's amazing how they turn around. I've had friends in my own life that are 100%, you know, agnostic or atheist, and they'll say, you know, well, I'm going through this tough time. I'll say, I'll pray for you. Please do. You know, please do pray for me. What is that? That's an opening in that time of crisis. And so, you know, the Lord can speak into that, definitely.
Where do you go in the Bible for your own personal comfort when you're dealing with your own suffering?
Wow.
You're not immune to that.
I am not immune to that.
You've got your own suffering. And where do you go to find refuge?
You know, I find refuge in the Psalms.
Okay.
And I find refuge in the book of Isaiah.
Interesting.
There's so many passages in Isaiah where God is speaking in a way to embolden and encourage the nation of Israel, and we kind of extrapolate from that.
Mm-hmm.
One of my great verses is Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, which for me is don't freak out, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I'm your God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. I've quoted that verse in surgery,
mm-hmm.
and I've quoted it in my own personal life when I've had rough days too, loss of parents and illness. Mm-hmm. Friends have gone through difficulty. And so the Psalms and those great verses, Isaiah, that's what I turn to.
Mm-hmm. Is that when in surgery you say the word whoops?
Yeah, that's forbidden. Okay. That word is forbidden.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I thought doctors said that all the time. What about you, George? Have you found a verse in particular or one that you've gravitated towards?
Help. That Isaiah verse, it's funny you'd say that. Dan Knutson, the Campus Crusade guy for Christ at Grace Edina 30 years ago, that was one of the first verses he gave me.
To memorize.
And when you said freaking out, do not be dismayed, for I'm your God, and I needed to hear that.
Good.
I think a lot of this is, you know, you do talk about one day at a time. Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And we use that in the 12-step rooms, but they don't give credit to where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said it. And this does force you to do one day at a time. I'll tell you what, it's an hour at a time. Because when you first get the diagnosis, you're trying to put one foot in front of the other. And you have to rely on God because you're not strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thing.
You know, the verse in Hebrews 2 is that we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every way as we are, and yet without sin. And, you know, Jesus suffered. I mean, he suffered in every way that a person can suffer. And we kind of know that we don't control the life and death matters around us. But he could have. As a matter of fact, that's one of the first temptations that Satan hit him with in the desert is, you know, hey, you know, you can take care of this. You can make bread out of rocks. I just want to remind you. You can jump off of towers and angels will make sure you don't splat on the ground. You can actually have the entire world system. I'll give that to you. And so, you know, he knew that he had an out, but he endured it for our sake. And that means we've got a God that understands. And that's unique in Christianity. That's unique. No other religious approach to life has that God who understands.
I often think of the authorities wanted to kill him. Mm. His friends were confused by him. His family thought he was nuts, and he was homeless.
Yeah.
You know, there was suffering on the table all over the place.
Yeah. It was like somebody else I know.
Why are you looking at me, George?
No, that's right. The other thing on that, Mark, when you go through something like this, you're alone.
Yeah.
And excuse me, Jesus said on the cross, why have you forsaken me? I think he's the only one who can identify with that. So he's done everything. You know, out of Hebrews, he's the perfect guy. But he's also been alone when he's dying.
Mm-hmm.
Why have you abandoned me?
Right.
So he's the only one who can identify. And trust me, you do go here alone. I mean, you do.
Yeah.
You know, you got other people. So he can identify with everything for us, and he overcame it.
And there are no words. There are no words sometimes. There's no words to comfort. There's no way for me to really feel what you're feeling or understand what it is you're experiencing. And yet we can come alongside of you, and we can pray. We can encourage. We can seek truth in the Word together. And I think that's one of the things I've seen, even in that interaction we had in the office. It was a beautiful time. It was a painful time, but I was encouraged. I was encouraged to be able to experience with that with you as a brother in Christ. I was encouraged to see Bill's support of you and Paul Wallen when he came along the second time. That is, I don't have words, but I've got presence.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord does that too. He just provides presence and that deep-seated sense that, you know, he's with me. And, man, I want people to have that as they go through the tough times of life.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
And the whole idea of hope and it getting us getting hope from many different sources is really what is sustaining, George. I think you're getting it in 100 different places right now. People pouring out love, support. I think that gives you hope, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. The other thing, and I was thinking when Mark was talking, when I met Shirley that day, you know, I said, am I going to be okay? She goes, yes. And both of you, what you do is you are hope. This probably sounds stupid, but the Christ I can see is my Christian doctor who is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Jesus is there and I know he loves me, but that's not tangible sometimes. But people like you and Shirley, that's a big deal because I can see it. You know, it's got flesh on it,
mm-hmm.
and it can help me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's priceless. It probably sounded really stupid, but
no, it didn't sound stupid, as far as you know.
But I think when you look at your job, no matter what you do, it should be a calling for Christ in that you do it as well as you can for him. But people see what you do, and if your doctor prays with you after he told you something you didn't want to hear,
mm-hmm.
that's huge, man.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
I said to you, George, I said, if you're going to ever hear bad news, you're going to want to hear it from Mark. Hmm. Remember that?
Yes. Didn't think we were going to get to do it right away.
I know. It was
so
hard to hear.
But, you know, we were talking tonight. I got a lot of hope. The other hope you have, and if you don't have Christ, you really don't have any hope. You might think you have hope, but it's going to end. That is all the hope we need, and maybe it's not going to happen here. Step 11, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that on. God's will and my will on this deal might be two different deals, and if somebody's listening and they're sick or suffering or trying to get sober, you know, your will and God's will might be different. But if you don't have Christ at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you're hoping in because it's not good enough. It's not going to work. And knowing that, that's a big deal, that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. That's huge.
You called me one morning with this profound thought you had, which was my desire now is to pray that I can accept God's will for my life because I know what my will is for my life, but I need to pray to accept God's will for my life. I thought that's really evolved. That's a very mature spiritual place to be.
Yeah, I got to keep praying on that one because that's
hard. I get it.
That's hard.
No, I get it.
God's will is going to happen whether we go along with it or not.
Yeah, he is very much about doing his will in your life.
And when you really get in a bad spot, you take great comfort in that. Because I don't know what's good for me. You know, I don't know what's ahead of me. You know, maybe I die this year, but maybe 3 years from now I would get Alzheimer's or something. You know, you don't know that. But maybe, Mark, maybe there's somebody in my life who is a friend of mine who's not a Christian.
Right.
And maybe in this process they're really broken up. He might be my attorney, and he might be talking to Bill. And he might be praying now, even though he doesn't know who he's praying to. If he gets saved and I die, eternity's forever. This is 80 years.
Right.
That's a great deal right there. And maybe that's part of why it happens. That's fair, isn't
it? There's no question about it. I thought of a couple of things when you were just now. One of them is the pastor that I grew up under, Bob Ricker. He used to have a great line, which is, we're immortal until God decides otherwise. And so we don't know. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know. And there could be something very sudden. There could be some other kind of tragedy. And so it's encouragement to me to think about that sort of that next step. But the other thing is just that, I forgot the other thing. See, you are still the smartest guy in the room.
What's the other thing? You don't forget.
It'll come to him.
It'll give me, because there was something else I wanted to say about what you were talking about, but
we'll take a break. When we come back, Mark will remember what it is he was talking about. You're listening to Real Recovery tonight. Thanks for being with us. Take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to Real Recovery. We have Mark Sofeldt in studio tonight. Mark, that song is what?
Oh, boy.
Oh, if you stumped him.
I don't know.
I thought you might know that one. You smiled like you knew that. So anyway, that's a pass. We'll give you a pass.
All right.
He was studying when we were listening to
Yeah. Anyway, there were two things you wanted to remember, and one of them is what?
And the other one was when you were talking about, who knows, maybe someone that I know and love is going to be touched by my journey and come to know Christ through this. I was thinking about my father-in-law, Keith, who was just a tremendously godly man. And he passed away from cancer 3 years ago, I think. And it was interesting when he was diagnosed, he had a very intense desire not to waste his cancer. He said, I'm really, really committed that this cancer be used for whatever it is the Lord wants to use it for. And that just became a sort of an all-encompassing, you know, approach for him. And it didn't matter what situation he was in, whether, you know, what caregiver came his way. He always would interrupt the meeting and say, hey, before you go, how can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. Even towards the end of his life, he was still doing that. And encouraged a lot of people. And, you know, we can never tell people with cancer or other serious problems how long they've got. You know, how long is my life going to be? Boy, I don't know. Because I believe in miracles, and I've seen tremendous healings, and I've seen people, you know, do amazingly well. So I think there is always hope to offer. But beyond that, it's wonderful to see people saying, well, whatever amount of time I have left, I really want to see God accomplish his purpose in this suffering and in this trial. And George, I've seen that from you so much already. I mean, those were some of the first words that came out of your mouth when you were in our office. And that just encourages me immensely.
Thank you.
Well, I can say that I've been with him for every appointment and every procedure and every biopsy to date. Mm-hmm. And he has used every opportunity imaginable. Doctors, nurses, janitors, it doesn't matter who comes in the room. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm a Christian and I know where I'm going. I hope I don't go too soon, but I've got that peace inside of me. And I thought, you know, with some of the doctors we've met, it's been quite a testimony, because I think they are probably not at all interested in Christianity.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop him from declaring what he believes and letting them know this is where he's at and this is what he understands to be the truth. So mm-hmm. I've been very proud of that.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. The other thing is, how could you not, though, after what God did in my life? I mean, I was a cocaine addict and I was a mess. And now I get to go to heaven and I get to tell people about what God's done.
I get to have my own radio show.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I could, too. Might be 3 in the morning, but you know,
yeah,
I
won't be
show.
A good time slot.
But thank you. I want to hear about what you're doing outside of your work.
Well, I love music, and I have my whole life, and I've always played the piano and sang from the piano. And I had a really interesting experience several years ago where I did an emergency heart surgery on a patient. And when I came out of the procedure, his wife said, hey, I've been praying for you. And that's kind of a universal sign that you've got a Christian family. And I said, well, thank you. I've been praying for Tex. That was the guy's name, Tex Reardon. And she said, and Billy Graham's been praying for you. I said, well, wow, why is that? And it turns out that Tex worked with Billy Graham for many, many years in a very key position, sort of doing all the logistics of his crusades.
Man.
And so Billy Graham was praying for us during that emergency heart surgery. Mm. Well, the long and the short of it is through that connection, I got invited to go to a very famous maximum security prison down in Louisiana called Angola
mm-hmm.
and minister to prisoners there who were they're lifers, you know, they're not going to get out. And there's a hospice unit down there. And I got to go down there. And that's where God started working me and saying, you know what, you got to sing to people who are suffering, Mark. This is the world you live in. This is what you have some experience in. And so I started writing music, and I've written a concert that's designed to offer hope and insight and talk about God's role in suffering and what we can learn about the Lord. And it's really designed for people who don't know him and are heading into the suffering journey alone, as you said, but without God. And it's really for people like Bill, if George was your dear friend but didn't know Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that was a subject, don't bring that up to me again.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a concert that you could invite someone to, and you could be sure that through the course of that time, and we start with songs that are really about where is God in my suffering, and we end with an opportunity to accept the Lord. And so
wow.
That's called, I named the ministry Healing Stream. Just sounded good. Sounded kind of musical.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our first event coming up.
And when is that event?
That is going to be Saturday evening, 7 o'clock on March 4th. So
okay.
March 4th.
First Saturday of March?
Yep, first Saturday of March at Wooddale Church.
Okay, we'll put that all up on the website. And how would you get information? Do you have a website already where you can go?
We've got a website. It's www.healingstreamevent.com.
Event.
Healingstreamevent.
All one word. Okay.
.com.
And is that website live right now?
It's live.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll put that up on myfaithradio.com website.
That's great.
And people, when they hear this and pass this episode on, they can get information about the event. Is it about an hour concert? Or?
It's about an hour, mm-hmm. and I think we're going to get you up there, too.
I might show up,
yeah.
Make a cameo appearance
that
for
would
a few
be awesome.
Laughs.
That would be great, yeah. I think people will really find it comforting. It's not meant to challenge, but it's not purely meant to entertain, either. It's
mm-hmm.
really meant to lead people into hope and give them some insight into what God wants to do through their time of suffering. So I think it'd be a great thing to have. As a matter of fact, we even kind of put up a two-for-one on the website in terms of getting tickets.
Mm-hmm.
That you when buy one ticket, you'll get a voucher for a free one, and the whole idea is to bring a friend.
Mm-hmm. And everybody is touched by someone that has some intense suffering. It doesn't necessarily have to be a medical condition, right?
No, not at all.
It can just be a suffering. Maybe it's through an addiction. Maybe they're
right.
living with someone who has an addiction, and the suffering is so intense, and they can't see God through any of it, can they?
No.
So this would be an entry-level, come and hear how God is present in the suffering.
Yeah. We can start with this concert. You know, we're starting from a ground zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds powerful.
Well, if you're going to suffer with Christ, how could you not suffer without him? Okay. Mm. At least now we have some hope.
Yeah.
And so I think this suffering can be really good because it forces you. It's forced acceptance to look at what's out there. It's a good thing. Short-term bad, long-term good, as we were talking. And Keith was your father-in-law?
Yes.
Talking about not wasting this. I love that. That's very inspiring for me to hear. You know, if nothing else on this program tonight, I got that. I got a lot, but that was great.
Well, you're giving a lot too, George. I know there's a lot going on.
Well, that's what I do, Bill. I got to say, I'm just sharing my struggle. And it is hard, but with Christ, everything works out.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you.
No,
you've been
but
great.
You have really not wasted one opportunity to let people know where you stand. You've always had a sharp wit. That has not diminished at all. You've stayed present in people's lives. You've responded to them. You've given them hope. You've laughed with them. You haven't made it morose. And you've got a big struggle ahead of you. And we're going to fight all the way.
Yeah, but God's got it.
God's got it.
There's some tough times, and it's sad. But you know what? At the end of the day, you come out and you go, I'm really grateful. I mean, if Jesus loves me.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, I have a patient who right now who went through Teen Challenge, had addiction issues, went through Teen Challenge as an adult. And he also is dealing with stage 4 lung cancer. And when he came back for his first post-op visit and we're standing there with medical trainees, you know what his first words out of his mouth? Doctor, I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the luckiest man in the world. And then he went on to share what God was just doing in his heart. And everyone's, you know, the jaws hit the ground. And how powerful is that? That's not something that's out there in the world. Yeah. Only God can do that.
Oh, it's true.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
So that's cool.
Yeah. And then just to remind our listening audience, if you're in the Twin Cities area, the concert will be March 4th. If you want to bring someone who might not be warm to the idea of God, and maybe they've rejected God, especially now because they're suffering, and how could God let this happen? And there might be an opportunity to bring them to the event on March 4th at Wooddale Church and have a powerful hour of understanding that God is present and he does love you and loves the person that's suffering. And Mark will be behind the keyboards that night, and it's going to be a great night.
Very interesting. Some people have more talent than others, but he's using it for God. I haven't heard you sing in 30 years.
So can you at least sing Happy Birthday to George?
Hey, George, let's sing. Right. Everyone out there.
No, just you.
Oh, just me?
Yeah, because I can't sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear George. Happy birthday to you.
Pretty sweet.
How about the Casey Jones version?
happy birthday to all the boys. Hope the very special day. Yeah, my kids know that very well.
Thank you.
All right.
Great to have you on.
Yeah,
thank
Mark,
you.
So nice.
It's wonderful to be here. Love both you guys.
Wraps up another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Thanks for sharing the journey that we're on together, and I appreciate your prayers and support for George. Going forward. Thank you so much for listening tonight. God bless everyone. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.